to episode 12 of the TryGames.net podcast. It is Sunday, July 23rd. I am your host, Austin slash Mr. Chupon, as I am known on the site, and I'm here with my three cohorts, as usual. Ethan. Tony.
I don't know. I'm Jewish.
Oh, really? And Al. Al. Al.
Al, where are you?
Al. Al! Let's have some tech! Okay, so Al's not here because he's practicing, because he's a very studious guitarist, and he will melt your face with his skills. So,
in two, three.
It's three, two, one, not two and three.
Two, three, four, waiting, five, six, 79, waiting,
84,
Bam! So as you can tell, we are down one host this week again, but we will carry on without him, and he will be in our spirits, and he'll be back next week to tell us glorious tales of having dreads, and we don't have the same type of hair. Anyways, before we get into our debate today, which is advertising and video games, have you guys been playing anything different, or the same thing?
Pretty much the same thing. The only thing that I actually played was I went back to try to play Liberty City Stories on the PSP. I just wanted to give it the benefit of the doubt because uh-huh. of first impression, you know, as a review. And sadly to say, nothing's changed. It's a terrible game. It's awful, blurry. It's the same thing over and over and over again. There is no deviation from the original designs of. Well, the only thing different is that instead of progressing and deciding to put new talent in here and voices that we recognize, they went over the top with B-list actors and F-list music. It's just
F-list
horrible.
Music.
It's horrible. It's just I can't even. Please, anyone who could hear the sound of my voice, do not even rent this game. This game is bad. I don't like it, and you shouldn't have. If you bought it, shame on you.
You shouldn't like it either.
Yeah, you should not. That's right. Because my voice.
Quote, go here, kill this guy, pick up that guy, deliver this thing, and essentially steal, beat, shoot, run over people, and just be the best damn felon you can be. End quote. From Porpoise Whale's Magnificent Fimp. And then here's this bit about the music. Oh, yeah. What was so great about the series, though, is that with each new edition, the voiceovers featured familiar actors and known recording artists were on the soundtrack. Boy, those are the days, huh? Yeah, like about a year ago. The developers of Liberty City Stories felt that the trend is so passé and treats us with no-name voiceovers and unremarkable songs and artists on the soundtracks. Unless you like classical mob music, like That's Amore or some shit.
Like, it's about you! I mean, come on, man. How fucking lame is that? Nobody wants to hear that.
That's awesome. The developers then decided the voice recording doesn't really need to be high quality either, not since the Turbo Graphics 16 system haven't heard such horribly scratchy dialogue.
Oh, yeah, isn't that true? Isn't
so it's scratchy?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, hey, Anthony, get over here. I got to talk to you. What the fuck? What happened here?
Well, maybe he smoked a lot.
It's unbelievable.
Of weed.
Just, you know, and that's just for the
and cigarettes.
That's just for the cutscenes. The voices in-game are crystal clear. I
oh, okay.
Don't understand.
Yeah, because they probably had to compress the entire cutscene, and then, like, they left it, yeah.
Ridiculous. Okay, so, yeah.
You know what's funny?
And a dick way down.
You know what's funny is that they made a Liberty City Stories for the PS2. They ported a PSP game to the PS2.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, God, why?
It's the same game.
That's stupid. Why would you want to play Grand Theft Auto 3 Part B. I mean, like, you know.
Part B. Part D.
It's ridiculous.
Part D's
X. Ram.
Oh, God. Anyway, that's, you know, that's my take on it.
So you love that game.
I absolutely adore to hate it. So, yeah, you go, Heath.
Anything you're playing?
The only new game I was playing, and I've been telling you about this, Austin, is 24, the game. I bought it for PS2, and it's not really that new, but...
He warned you.
I know he did, and he warned me that he bought it too, even knowing it was going to suck. And I did the same thing because, I'm a huge fan of the show, so I had to buy it and see what it was all about. And let me tell you,
Rico!
Austin did not disappoint in his review. It sucks. But, you know, it's one of those games that I think I do love to
The following shit takes place between shit and shit.
Yep.
Shit occurs in real time.
The driving is precise. very, very precise. Like when you,
is that sarcasm?
Yeah, if I leave the analog sticks alone and I just break, the car seems to just decide to turn in one direction and skid out. It's amazing. That always happens in my car, and I hate it when I do that. That's like, I don't know, there's so many problems with that game, but I would have done it differently, but yeah, right. It sucks. But I'm still playing it, so I don't know, I think I'm an idiot. I like the series too much.
Have you been playing more of, what's it called, Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter?
I have played a teeny bit more of Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. I am more disappointed with the AI a little bit. There's some more bugs that I didn't really see in my first time around. Other than that, the game is amazing. If they can release some patches and fix some of the AI problems, which I think they did, and I still haven't gotten it, it's a revolutionary game. I'm not really sure why it's not getting higher scores in some of the other reviewers.
I really think it's the AI that people are taking issue with then. Because, okay, I'm actually looking at the latest issue of PC Gamer right now. Let me see if I can find it. The review in PC Gamer for Ghost Advanced, what the fuck? Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. It got a 65% for above average.
Really?
And the developers, Grin? Who the fuck is Grin? Okay, so, and the review title is, what's the command for don't be a dumbass? How could Ubisoft possibly top its tactical first-person shooter, Ghost Recon? Easy. Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter not only pits you against radical forces behind enemy lines, it sends your own troops into battle against you. Not on purpose, of course, but Graw's bipolar AI makes a single-player campaign a punishing exercise in babysitting. Let's see. Your job is to protect the President of the United States after an attack, blah, 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 blah. Your squadmates, however, are more interested in ignoring direct orders, getting stuck behind walls, ambling into enemy fire, and their favorite, getting you killed. For instance, when directed to take cover behind a corner, one ghost translated my order as, walk into a tank's line of fire and get yourself and Chuck, who's a reviewer, blown up by a shell. And there's nothing like missing a shot because an errant soldier's pathfinding AI thinks the best way from point A to point B is through you.
Oy.
Has that happened to you, though?
Yeah, that hasn't happened. I have directed troops to a corner. And, you know, again, 90% of the time they do handle it correctly, but the 10% of the time that they just kind of walk out in the middle of the street and die ruins an entire mission. This is not something where you can just, you know, load from 10 seconds earlier. You have to play that whole damn thing over again.
I'm going to have a grape.
Do it. And, you know, I wish they would eat more grapes or something. I don't know. They need something to do that, guys. But, again, even with that, I think that some of the other games... I don't know, the other stuff in the game really does make up for it, and I suffer through the crappy AI because the other stuff is so amazing. The physics are just unbelievable. The storyline is pretty good. The interface is the best I've seen for a first-person tactical shooter ever.
Like the pre-planning and all that stuff?
There's no pre-planning, but there's planning done, so there's a little... So it's the best of both worlds. The people that don't want to pre-plan, that hated the pre-planning in Rainbow Six, can do it in-game, or they can choose not to do it, but... There is an interactive map there that's done so well, it's so easy to figure out, it makes so much sense, that it's just really well done. And it's a perfect kind of balance between, they don't go too far modern in terms of the weaponry and everything that's around you, so the guns feel like kind of present-day guns, maybe a little bit in the future.
Right.
Which is, I don't know, it's a huge thing for me. I really enjoy games that show off current technology, maybe a little bit in the future. So I think they did an amazing job. Everything sounds feel real, it looks real, it feels real, and that to me is like the true test of a really good technical sim. Again, there are some real AI problems.
Hmm.
I mean, there are some intelligence problems with me, so I guess I forgive it with the AI.
I believe that. I totally believe
stupid
that.
Stupid is, stupid does.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. So
I'm not a smart man. But I think you should come back with me to Greenbow, Alabama.
I think you know what it may be also? It may be that the interface for controlling your AI guys is so easy that the AI may be making the same number of mistakes in other games, but since it's so easy to control them in this one, you use it more, and you may take for granted the fact that, yeah, this probably happens in real life. You know, you give orders to people and they make mistakes. Obviously,
no, not
people
those
getting
kind of mistakes.
Well, no. People getting stuck behind walls and people like trying to go through you in their path to something, that's a programming error. But somebody, you're telling somebody to go to a corner, and if they approach the corner and then come out of the corner too fast, those are kind of human errors, and I'll give it up for that. It's the other stuff. It's like the, you know, I tell the AI to follow me. I walk, you know, 2 miles down the road. I turn around, my guy's, you know, stuck doing river dance against a
just like in real life.
What perturbs me is the fact that these complaints have not been leveled against the 360 version, and I'm wondering what happened there that, like, what the developers did. Like, what do they do? They smoke crack rock?
I don't know, because that's a good question, because the AI stuff should be the same. It's not like it's such a different
should be a direct
level.
Port.
Well, I don't know about direct, but...
Well, they didn't... See, the thing is, they didn't want to directly port it. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I don't know about, you know, I mean, even if it's not, like, the algorithms the set of rules that they're using for the AI are obviously going to be the same. So at this point, then, it's got to be a simple programming problem. Like, these guys just didn't test, and they didn't program well. And it's
well,
sloppy.
Let's see. Ghost Recon.
I haven't tried the multiplayer, but I really want to, because with multiplayer, you take the AI element out of it, and you...
Right, and then you've got, yeah.
You get still the great environment that really is the shining star of this game. So I'm going to try the multiplayer stuff, and I'll have another report.
Okay, and I'm going to just take a look at the developers. The developer for the PC version was Grin, or something, G-R-I-N. I don't know, that's what the PC gamer said. I'm going to take a look at the developer for the Xbox 360 version, Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter.
You know what's also interesting? This game got a T rating.
For teens?
For teens.
Really?
And it is pretty violent. Yeah.
You know, that just exemplifies how inaccurate the ratings on these systems are. And that you really need to pay attention to it.
Not necessarily. I mean, let me take a look at Call of Duty 2. Call of Duty 2 is teen as well. I think the guidelines are, you know, there's a lot of shooting violence and whatever. So a 15-year-old, you know, that's fine. If it becomes excessively gory and it has some swearing, then you get into the M territory.
Ethan,
like,
what's SWAT 4 rating?
It's probably T. It should be T.
Because that has some pretty,
Oh, it has swearing, so
M.
It might be M.
No,
it has swearing, it's M. Yeah, it has swearing.
But, yeah, they say shit like, oh, it's the best. I have never, the first time, when I cracked open the first SWAT 4, I have the Sketch Off Syndicate, which is the expansion, but when I cracked open the first one, and you're going through the little training mission, you open this little room, and you're just, it's you by yourself, you're about to start the training mission, and you have a full loadout. What do? I see a flashbang, so I drop it, and I see what happens, and the flashbang goes off, and the best thing in the world happens. Your character screams at the top of the
screen. Oh, shit!
What the fuck?! Really, really loud. I just did that again and again and again and felt so pleased that they had the balls to go ahead and put that in a game.
But okay, back to Ghost Recon. Ubisoft's internal studio did the 360 version, and this studio, Grin, did the PC version. So maybe that's what it is.
I mean, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. The rules are there. You know, the planning is there. The design is the same. It's then execution and programming.
Grin, what else have they done? They've done Ballistics, Bandits, Phoenix Rising, and Vultures. What the f... Okay.
I don't know any of those.
Grin is a Sweden-based developer who creates games for the next generation console and high-end PC. Okay,
well,
so they're new guys. Just because the Swedes made the Gizmondo doesn't make them bad people. I'm kidding. We love Sweden.
Sweden
I've never been.
Rules!
I've never been. The problem is that you had different developers, and I guess they didn't share assets, maybe? So, anyways.
You've been playing.
I have been playing Condemned Criminal Origins. It was one of the launch titles, I believe, for the Xbox 360. Okay. I just got my 360 in the mail last Monday, and I downloaded that demo right away. And I was pretty freaked out by it, so I went to the store and bought it.
For PC.
For PC, yeah. So someone gave me shit about it. He's like, ha ha ha, you got a 360, and, you know, now you go out and you buy it for PC. And I'm like, well, A, it's $10 less new than the used version of the 360 version. B, it looks better. So,
yeah,
whatever.
C,
it's
the first three, and controls
three,
better
it controls better with a mouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, that's fine, though. I mean, like he has a point that, like, yes, I just bought this new system, and I could have got a game for it, but I didn't. But yeah, it's pretty freaky. It is very it's very creepy in terms of the environment and the lighting that they use. I could be mistaken, but I think it's using a similar or the same engine as they use for Fear. It is the same developer. Monolith did both Fear and Condemned. And it's very similar also in terms of mood, because in Fear, you know, it's all about this, you know, it's a lot of psychological thrills in addition to just, like, you know, flat-out scares.
Right.
You start seeing things. you start seeing, like, wisps of smoke that look like people, and then they go away, and you're like, what the fuck is going on? A similar thing started happening later in the first level of Condemned. And so I was, you know, I was pretty impressed by that, because I thought that basically the premise behind Condemned is that, well, not the premise, but the enemy setup is mostly just, like, psychos and murderers and killers that are all hopped up on drugs. So it's not like ghosts or zombies or anything like that, right? It's not supernatural. So I thought that I'd be going through the game and just fighting, be fighting, like, thugs and stuff. And it would just be scary because it was dark.
Okay.
They really come out of nowhere. You go into a room and you hear, like, rustle, rustle, can gets knocked over, something moves. Like, okay, so he's somewhere in this room, but I don't know where. And you hear the coughing getting louder, and all of a sudden he goes, "Ah, fuck you!" And he comes at you with, like, a 2x4, and, you know, you're freaked out. You jump out of your pants. But, you know, 8 hours of that, then you're like, okay, it's not that scary anymore. He's just a guy on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But when you add that little, like, psychological thriller element in it, where it's a little bit supernatural,
yep.
Then it gets a little bit scarier, because I don't know what to expect now.
Right.
Maybe it's just a red herring. Maybe they just threw that in there to mess with me, but whatever the case may be, it's pretty cool. The hand-to-hand combat really is... Ethan, have you continued to play Riddick on the PC?
Yeah, I played a lot of that.
How's the hand-to-hand combat in that?
I thought it was good.
It's pretty good?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Condemned is similar. Condemned, and along with Oblivion as well, is similar to that. And, like, the hand-to-hand combat really is robust and much more... You feel it much more than you have with a previous first-person shooter.
Huh.
And I kind of hesitate to call this a first-person shooter as much as I will call it a horror adventure game. Because even though you're playing it from the first-person perspective, it doesn't really have that shooter feel. Because you're not running around shooting things like in Serious Sam, or you're not, it's not
right,
a tactical
right.
shooter,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know. It's more, to me, it's more like a thriller type, whatever, it has first-person mechanics.
Well, probably in the flexibility of what you can do, you don't just have a gun sitting in front of you with this
right.
one frame that you're just, like, looking around with a solid window, if you can actually move and bend and do all the stuff. Like in Riddick, when you can, like, do different moves on a guy, that makes it interesting.
Yeah. But it's mostly, you're just swinging your weapon, but, like, they've also got this blocking mechanic, so it becomes a game of anticipating when they're going to hit you, blocking them, and then whacking them on the head with, like, your fire axe. They'll get hit, and sometimes, like, the momentum of you hitting them in the head spins them around, and then they kind of come back with a backhanded strike. So it's not just, like, hit, block. Like, you might hit them, and then they'll turn around and counterattack, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you get hit, and you get spun around, you might come back with a back fist because you're in that position too.
You really
have to see it in motion. It's really intense. If there's anything I dislike about it, it's that the level design, like I said, it's made by Monolith, who also did Fear. And last week you'll remember that I was complaining that Fear's level design kind of gets samey. Everything looks the same at some points. Like, you kind of don't know if you went through that room before, or if you're coming into it for the first time. You're like three levels into the game, and you're like, wait, this looks exactly like the first level. Condemned, within the first level, suffered a little bit from that. Like, the rooms kind of looked all the same, and because everything's, like, dilapidated and rotten, it's kind of a downer. So you're in these rooms that look dilapidated, and they all look the same, so it's kind of like...
Like Silent Hill.
Kind of like Silent Hill, but the thing with Silent Hill, except for Silent Hill 2 and the freaking hospital, is that Silent Hill 2 didn't really seem redundant or... monotonous to me in
I
terms of
Silent
the backgrounds.
Silent Hill 2 really didn't live up to Silent Hill 1. I'm
yeah.
not talking about the regular Silent
right,
Hill.
Right, right,
right. Extremely depressing.
Right. But I'm not even talking about the mood. I'm talking about, like, also just the repetitive level design that I didn't notice in the first Silent Hill. Maybe I have to play it again. But, yeah, like, Monolith, I guess, has a little problem with that. Like, I noticed the same thing with No One Lives Forever.
Okay.
And No One Lives Forever 2, which are both great games, but they also had that a little bit of that little loopy, these rooms kind of look the same, you might get lost in it level design. But so far, you know, I think I can kind of get past that because it's really freaky. I suggest you guys try it out if you have the means.
Cool.
Well, I know Ethan has the means.
That was a shot at me!
Yes, it was a shot at you! I'm recording the podcast on a Pentium 2 169.
It's not a Pentium 2, but it's
I know. I know.
Listen, Tony, did you make any money in AC so we can buy you a new
computer? Hey, listen, I got to tell you the great news.
Yeah?
No.
That's what I figured. You lost your shirt again, didn't you, you son of a bitch?
Wow.
Yes, I came back shirtless.
But besides Condemned, I'm also playing this. I did get a 360 game. I got two 360 games, actually. I downloaded this game called Geometry Wars that everyone's been raving about since the Xbox 360 launch. It's basically like Robotron. I don't know if you guys ever played that.
Yeah, of course. Robotron.
You played that, right? So it's basically, yeah, it's basically a revamp of Robotron. It looks great. It sounds great. It's really fun to play because it's simple. It's pick up and play.
Right.
And it was $5 to download, so.
Oh, cool.
It's worth it. It's really fun. And then this other game, this launch game called Cameo Elements of Power. It's a Zelda-ish adventure type game. It was originally supposed to come out for the GameCube. And then when Nintendo sold Rare to Microsoft, Rare decided to make it for, Microsoft had Rare make it for the 360.
Okay.
It's really beautiful looking in terms of the environments. They have individual blades of grass.
Wow.
That look really impressive. It's really colorful. The art style, it's really subjective whether or not you like cartoony or realistic. But for a cartoony game, it looks, like, fantastic.
Is it Far Cry cartoony, or is it more realistic?
Well, Far Cry, because they're aiming for, like, realistic, it's just kind of can't be that way. Uh-huh. I still consider Far Cry realistic. This is, like, Zelda-type cartoony, uh-huh. Mario-type cartoony, Rayman-type. It's very colorful, it's very vivid, it's very bright. It's got a lot of special effects. It's got really good texturing on each surface. It really looks good. Like, I saw gameplay videos, and I'm like, this doesn't need to have a 360 next gen console. What the fuck are they doing? But once I saw it on my monitor, then I was like, okay, they really did some stuff with the engine here. Gameplay wise, though, you don't need a next generation system for that. I got it for $25, though. I was lucky because my whole thing about the 360 is that I don't want to buy $60 games, and this one was $25, so I said, why not? It's the adventuring is all right. The gimmick in this game is that you can kind of hop into one of 10 different like monster types that you can use to solve puzzles and stuff, and it's all right. Except the action feels kind of unwieldy to me a little bit. Like, I'm not having too much trouble with it, but it's just that the setup, when you're used to something like Zelda, or have you ever played Ratchet and Clank on PS2?
No, I haven't.
When you're used to, well, it's a lot of guns, basically. It's just,
okay.
But it's a lot of shooting in that game. But anyway, when you play games like that, and you're kind of used to quality control like that, the controls in Cameo are all right. They just feel a little bit sluggish to me. Also, the other thing that kind of bugs me about it, which is not the fault of the game itself, but just, the situation overall, is why couldn't we get this on our current generation consoles? Like, it perfectly would have fit. There's a type... My whole thing, as I've been ranting about the past, I don't know how many podcasts ago, but you buy a next generation console, you really need to have something that takes advantage of it. Like,
right.
Oblivion... For anybody who owns Oblivion Xbox 360, that takes advantage of it because that's expansive and huge. Cameo, not so much. You could have put down the Xbox or the PS2 or the GameCube, and But that's what I've been playing. Al, what have you been playing? Oh, that's right. Not here. Phoenix Wright.
He's probably playing games right now. He's not practicing that loser.
Practice. But let's move on to the topic the topic du jour. I'm going to be French today. And the topic for today is advertising in games. We kind of hinted at this last episode and just kind of not game advertising, but ads in games. It's been a topic that's kind of been out there that a lot of people have been discussing. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it intrusive? Like, what are your thoughts on it? Do you think that you should be paying $60 for a game which advertises the fucking Burger King man every single round, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? We tried to come up with, a short list of all the games that we knew had ads in them and what those ads were. Do you guys have any findings, or should I rattle mine off first?
I'll start mine. I think the first game ever that I could remember had advertising, straight out advertising, in the arcades. I'm not sure if anybody's familiar with the game Tapper.
Oh, yeah, Tapper.
Tapper.
Like, you basically had to catch the mugs.
The bartender.
Yeah, and you threw the mugs down to the customers,
yeah,
and you had seven bars.
Exactly.
Yeah. Great
and
game.
And you had to serve them the drinks. When they get to the end of the bar, they send back the empty glasses, so you have to catch the empty glasses as
right.
well. And
so you're serving and cleaning up.
Exactly.
Great game. So much fun.
The first one that I could remember was Budweiser Tapper.
Oh,
and they had the Budweiser,
nice one.
The Budweiser Tapper handle. Okay? If you could imagine why it got discontinued or banned, because at that time, who was the arcade base? And I could remember being a kid, I never saw more than one adult in an arcade game at any given time. Okay? And, there you go. There you go. Ethan has so gratefully found a site that actually has the game shown
an image
in
of the
all
game.
Its glory. Yeah, all its glory.
With the Budweiser ad right in there, yeah.
Yep. No, it's not. It was all Budweiser. It was, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
that's great.
So So that was the very first game that I could remember. And you know what? You couldn't think of anything because here was this game, and essentially you had to believe, not necessarily that Budweiser had to put an ad on it because you were serving beers, but here's a game where you were serving beers. So why not Budweiser?
Right.
You know?
Right.
They're not doing anything wrong there. They
right.
They're putting out a game.
It's an advertisement that makes sense within the context
exactly.
of the game.
So here it is. You are serving beer.
And look, that window says bar.
Yeah, and, you know, so here it is. So here it is. It had the genuine Budweiser handle. And, of course, the game got pulled because they were, you know, parents were concerned that kids are coming
right.
home and, you know, trying to become Budweiser drunks.
Right.
Pull. Okay.
Ethan, what search string did you use? Just Tapper?
Tapper, Tapper. I went to Wikipedia for Tapper, and then they have a screenshot as part of their description.
Okay.
It's a 1983 game, just to put it in time.
Okay. Yeah, so if anybody wants to see the image of this game with the Budweiser logo, you go to wikipedia.org and type in Tapper, and there will be a screenshot in the description.
Yep.
Or you can actually find the game in one of the Midway Arcade Classic collections, I believe. Was it a Midway game?
I think it was.
Yeah.
They're not
okay.
going to put it that way. They're going to put it as Root Beer Tapper or something.
Right, yeah. In the Xbox or PS2 or GameCube versions of the Midway Arcade Treasures, either Volume 1 or 2, I can't remember. Yeah, it's going to be, you're going to have that game in there. But it's not going to be Budweiser. So it's going to be Root Beer.
Yeah, Root Beer Tapper.
Root Beer.
Actually, what it went to after they pulled the Budweiser game was Beer Tapper. And even
that one was just
not working.
No, the Tom Mix Software Company made a clone called Brewmaster for the 1080 computer.
That's crazy.
Oh, man. Well, I have Beer Tapper, so in any case, that
In July 2000, Midway licensed Root Beer Tapper along with the...
Yeah, Root Beer Tapper.
...electronics games to Macromedia. What? For use in an online applet to demonstrate the power of the Shockwave web content platform. That is hilarious.
That is nice.
Wow. It's gotten so much better in 5 years then.
And they certainly couldn't leave the regular beer in there. If they're
Guess what, guys? We actually advertise for Shockwave. Shockwave Media. If you want free games and play all the time, go to Shockwave Media.
Shockwave!
Anyway.
What other games do you know with...
Well, everything else is kind of like off advertisement. Okay, maybe they couldn't get the licenses. Maybe they couldn't.
I'm going to have another grape.
Okay, I remember playing Super Hang On for the Genesis. Have you played
Super
it?
Super Hang On, no.
Yes.
It was a motorbike game, right?
Yeah, motorbike.
Ethan should have played that.
Yeah, he should have.
87 on Sega Master System.
No. That's Hang On. I'm talking about Super Hang On from Genesis.
There was also an arcade version which had a motorcycle that you sat on.
Yeah.
Super Hang On is a 1987 motorcycle racing arcade game from Sega.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Genesis.
Yeah, it is on Genesis.
Yeah.
Mega Drive?
Mega Drive. That's a Japanese name for Genesis.
Oh, actually, you know what? It was on Commodore, Amiga, Atari ST, ZX Spectrum, Amstrad CPC, Commodore 64. Yep.
Didn't Commodore die when I was born? I mean, like... Okay, so, anyway, I'm playing Super Hang-On, and they have billboards. You know, most of them are, like, stupid, but there was one billboard in particular that had the Marlboro cigarettes,
Marlboro, wow.
Marlboro cigarettes logo. You know, the red triangles on the corner, okay, with the white triangle in the center, and instead of saying Marlboro, it said Merle Bear.
Oh, you're kidding.
Kid you not.
That's great.
Merle Bear.
And I'm not sure if it was Super Monocle GP or if it was Pole Position.
Pole Position?
Either one of those, instead of like advertising for Texaco, it was Taxico.
The thing with that is I think that Sega did that. I could be wrong, but it feels like Sega did that on purpose to add to the immersion of the game by saying, we have a billboard ad that looks like the real world, except they didn't have the rights to put Marlboro up there.
Yeah, but
whereas nowadays the tables have turned where they're like, please advertise for us and we'll put your ad in there, like, you know, 100% real.
Right.
But any other games that you can think of?
Mm-hmm.
Old games?
Okay. Yeah. I got a few. We got to talk. If you want to talk about advertising in games, I've got at least three games that I remember that were just products that enveloped a game around the advertising.
Right. Well, what I mean is, like any instances of advertising, like the Marlboro logo, but in, like really a Marlboro logo.
Oh, Subliminal? Yeah, tons, but I can't remember them. Okay. I played hundreds of thousands.
Well, then they didn't work on you. You should be proud.
Huh?
I said, well, then they didn't work on you. You should be proud.
No, yeah, he doesn't know if they worked on him. He can't even remember the ad, but he's
exactly.
Trying to
buy it. Exactly. And,
dude,
you
it's
know.
Malta.
Maybe it's anti-Ethan slogans. That's
yeah, they advertise for that. Real funny.
No, you know what I wanted to say, Ethan, but I can't say it.
Jackass.
I don't want to offend.
Well, I got a few, epic games in the here and now that, you know, have been singled out for their advertisements. I think Anarchy Online, which is a massively multiplayer RPG, has billboard, dynamic billboards everywhere. You know, and you do that in a massively multiplayer setting because servers are dynamic. They have billboards. I saw this one screenshot. They have billboards for TV shows on the Sci-Fi Channel. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of obnoxious to me. It's like, yes, I'm playing this massively multiplayer game in a fantasy world, and it's telling me to log off to watch this TV show. It's kind of weird. And then EverQuest, one of the more famous ones, is if you brought up the console and typed in pizza, it would take you to the website for Pizza Hut.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't know how I feel about that, but I guess if you're hungry, it's good. SWAT 4, I know, has dynamic ads that change when you go online, and Ethan also found out that they have dynamic ad tracking, which tells you how long I was staring at this ad on the wall. The Matrix Online also had advertising and billboards, which is also really freaky because they also, just like the Anarchy Online one, they had advertising that told you, oh, this show's on at 10 p.m., go watch it. And someone made the kind of convoluted but funny and kind of salient point that the Matrix is all about being in a fantasy world constructed by computers, and then it's telling you to not jack in and watch this TV show that's in the real world. But they're advertising a real world TV show in a fictional Matrix. So it was kind of weird, and after I read that, I was like, you know what? They're right. That is stupid.
You know what?
I just
want
to read the
Outrun.
I'm sorry.
Outrun. Oh, wow.
Outrun 2 for the Xbox and the arcade had little billboards on the side for AMD.
Didn't the arcade game?
It had fake billboards, but Outrun 2, the sequel that just came out like 2 years ago, has ads for AMD chips like on the billboards. It was really weird. Super Monkey Ball that we've all played on the GameCube and that's now on the Xbox and PS2 as well, has the logo for Dole Bananas plastered everywhere. They're the two famous examples that I've been bitching about: the Fight Night Round 3 Burger King piece of shit, and the Need for Speed Underground 2 singular crap. And then 2K Sports is now going to put dynamic ads in their games. But on that last one, and I guess this may be a segue into the actual debate itself, is that for 2K Sports to put dynamic ads in their baseball game, if you watch a baseball game, there are dynamic ads behind the batter. So it makes total sense. That's like the perfect opportunity there, and it's not intrusive. It's the same thing as you get when you're watching a baseball game. And I might argue that it actually makes the game better in a superficial way, because sports sims are always striving to be more like TV broadcasts. What way to be more like a TV broadcast than to do everything right, including putting the ads in there? So I guess the argument can start now. Fire away.
No, that has to do with, you know, if you're talking about dynamic advertisements in baseball, you're talking about a progression. Because I remember watching baseball games back then, and they only had local advertisements.
Oh, yeah, right? Of course.
Nobody beats the Wiz, you know, stuff like that. Now they got rid of the billboards, and they introduced the digital age. Now they can put advertisements from wherever they want, no matter what locale you're in. It'll be local or international and stuff like that. Do I really want to watch a game and see about, like, California Lumber while I'm watching the New York Yankees game? No, I don't. It does not concern me. It really doesn't. And that's one of the things that does not click with me, so it makes no sense. But that comes with the digital age. Okay,
well, let me put it this way, then. Let me ask you this. This is a problem with the source material, right? This is a problem with baseball games at large. So how would you now equate this to the game being immersive like a TV broadcast?
See,
does it make sense in that sense?
Let me tell you what would be a great marketing thing if they wanted to include marketing and stuff like that, which wouldn't happen. But let's say if you went to play a local team, like say you went to the Milwaukee Brewers, and you were playing at home at Milwaukee, they had advertisements local to them instead of having.
Well, of course, but are we talking about
the same Pepsi? The same. That's where it's not real.
Are you talking about, but I'm saying, are you talking about a baseball broadcast on TV or the video game?
Well, no, at first I was talking about, you know, a live broadcast when I see the Yankees and stuff like that.
Right.
Okay,
right.
But now I'm talking about games. If they want to make it like, if they really want to incorporate advertisements and they think that's part of the game and they think that's part of the experience, then it can't be across the board, just a general fucking sponsor. Okay?
Right, but what I was trying to ask you, and I have no feelings on this way one or another, I just want to get your opinion on this, is, it may make more sense, but is it faithful to what they're trying to get at? What they're trying to get at is emulating a TV broadcast presentation of a baseball game that you can play through. So, and this is kind of weird, but if they did what you said, then they would be doing something more realistic in tune with what you would want from a baseball game, but it's not faithful to the TV broadcast,
so
which a lot of people like to look at. So, what are your feelings on that? Would you prefer?
Yeah. So to answer your question, would it be faithful to? Yes, absolutely. So long as if I'm running to first base and they show a slow motion replay, it doesn't say sponsored by Pepsi. Doesn't happen that way. Okay. In real live telecast, they show a replay. You don't know who it's sponsored to by or from until the end of the show. Okay. If you're running to first base, I don't want to see a billboard or some cheerleader on the side waving, a Reebok sign.
But I thought they had that. Like, usually behind the batter's box, I usually see ads that change.
No. Behind the batter's box, that's always been a staple.
And then don't they have those digital? I don't go to baseball games. I don't know.
What I'm saying is, if you've ever watched a baseball telecast, you know that when they show slow motion replays
it's blank.
Plays, it's blank. It's not sponsored by
anybody. Right. Because at the time, yeah.
It doesn't say sponsored by Doritos chips. Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't say, when somebody's jumping over the fence in backfield. Okay. Right next to them, you don't read a sponsored by Budweiser song.
Right.
So long as the advertising doesn't get in the way of the game and is true to how it is in real life. Sports is about the only way that it could be.
This is more touching on the larger argument, which is not necessarily in-game ads only, but how far should advertising be pushed up your butt while you're watching any media?
This is a perfect example because sports is a logical sense for having advertising.
The only thing is, how you said the replays are never sponsored by anyone?
Right.
That's not true. Replays are sponsored by another network. It depends on the network you're watching.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
He's talking about the billboards like on the side of the stadium
I'm also talking about when they show the replays, okay? They don't have something on the side, okay, blinking saying sponsored by
that's
whoever.
What I'm saying
no.
is that they
Doesn't
do.
Happen.
They do. It does happen. It happens on different networks. You're only watching ESPN or New York networks. But if you go to Boston, you'll see that type of thing when the Red Sox are playing. They will have a sponsored replay. That's my point. So
it would say sponsored by?
Yes, it says sponsored by Doritos and a little Doritos thing goes across the screen.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. Now, first
this
of all,
is ridiculous.
Well, but hold on. This is all about like the tolerance level that we have for advertising in media that and whether it interferes in the enjoyment of the media we're watching. And it's slowly gotten more pervasive in everything, including television. For example, they used to never have the logo of the channel on the bottom right of
the screen that would stay there all the time.
Yep, that's right. And when they first started doing that, everybody was like, this sucks, I hate it. You don't hear a peep about it now because we've just gotten used to it and it's droned out. The same thing's going to happen in the baseball game stuff and everything else where they're going to keep pushing ads and eventually we'll just ignore it more and they'll have to look for new ways to push the games in, push the ads.
Well,
let me just finish. So the point is, eventually that stuff is going to get more and more in your face, even in games and everything. So if you think like the replay sponsored by Doritos is bad, wait till they've got sponsored uniforms Doritos down their leg and then the
they wanted to do that. Yeah, they wanted to do that and I don't think it flew.
If it didn't fly yet, it's gonna.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming.
It's only a matter of fact.
I just wanted to bring an example from 2K. Actually, I have NBA 2K6 for the Xbox. It's really funny. Like, I gotta start paying attention to my NBA telecast more often now, because remember how you were saying that on some channels they don't show the little digital billboard? They have, the NBA's version of the little digital billboard is right under the scorer's table. They've got a rotating ad, and sometimes it rotates and it has a physical ad, and sometimes it's a blank slate where they have, a digital picture. And I gotta pay attention to the replays now and see what they do there, because I honestly don't know. Like, I haven't watched a basketball game since.
Right.
Like, it's been like actually half a year until I started watching the finals. I'm ashamed. I'm sorry. But I was playing NBA 2K6. Now I remember it. When they do the player introductions, and they have the whole, first of all, they have the whole ESPN broadcast.
Right.
Okay. So ESPN telecast, and 2K6 is the last year that it's going to have it because EA Sports bought out the rights for using the ESPN license. But 2K6 still has ESPN. That's the first one. And then when the announcers start talking about, okay, here are the key players for the game, LeBron James versus Rashard Lewis, it's like the Toyota matchup. And they show this little graphic of a truck going on screen.
Oh, that's
bad. Wait. The truck opens up, and then the photos from the two players come out of the truck. Mm-hmm. And they start talking about it. And then during the game, when there's a particularly interesting replay, Kenny Smith goes, "Let's take a look at the Powerball triple threat replay." And it's like triple threat replay, and Powerball comes onto the screen, and you can't skip it. You can't press the A button.
That's what I'm talking
about. You can skip the replay itself, but you can't skip the ad that comes up.
See, this is what I'm talking about. We're being inundated by marketing. It's the same thing in movies. There was a time where you could go to the movies and not watch all the goddamn advertisements that they had.
Well, let me finish about the game. Is that you can skip the Toyota thing in the beginning because
you can't skip the power bar.
You can't skip the power bar thing, which is kind of funny how the you just can't skip that. And the thing is that I had no problem with it at first. Uh-huh. And then when I was like, okay, well, I don't want to watch the replay, let me move on. The regular replays, I could just skip. The Powerball replay,
really?
I could skip, but I had to wait until the Powerball logo came on the screen, and then I could press A. And the reason why it's annoying to me is because so it takes about 5 seconds for Kenny Smith to say, "Let's take a look at the Powerball triple threat replay," and for the logo to come on the screen, and for the words triple threat replay to zoom onto the screen. It takes about 5 to 6 seconds, and I'm like, no, I just want to get back to shooting the ball.
Sucks.
You know, and
that sucks.
That I mind a lot. The concept of putting Powerbar in there and Toyota in there, I don't mind because I see that in regular telecasts.
Right.
And Powerbar is an athletic product, so mm-hmm. I don't mind that. But when it starts making me have to wait before I can get the ball back and bring it to the court, that's when it gets annoying to me. Like the AMD ad and OutRun, AMD has nothing to do with
OutRun, no.
With cars.
Nothing to do with Sega. Nothing to do with Sega either.
Wait, listen to me. But it goes by so fast, and it's on a freaking billboard, and you hardly notice it. At that point, it doesn't matter to me, especially because on racing circuits, you probably get ads that have nothing to do with the cars.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so it's like, okay, that's not a big deal for me. Super Monkey Ball, Dole Bananas. It's a monkey game. It has bananas. The Dole logo doesn't bother me.
Right. Uh-huh.
But the Need for Speed thing with the singular ad that pops up in the middle of your screen every time you get a mission update bothers me. The fact that Burger King is the only restaurant in that game bothers me. The fact that the Burger King man comes up and flashes the round card in Fight Night Round 3 instead of some hot chick bothers me. If the hot chick was wearing the Burger King crown, I'd be okay.
No, I disagree.
Meat on top of meat.
Meat on top of crap on top of advertisement. Anyway, what I want to say is that also is not good. They never see in reality when you watch a boxing match, they never show the ring girl, only for maybe a glimpse of.
That's why I don't watch boxing.
No, but hold on. No.
I do watch boxing. I know they don't show that. They show the corners. No. They show the guys.
Yeah,
with the water ball. They show the trainer yelling at them in Spanish or in French.
Okay.
Or in English.
So in no world that I know would the Burger King man be allowed to fucking dance around for the 1 minute.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay? No, it's fucking stupid. It has no place in this game. And if it has to detract away from your game experience, it is not a game experience.
But a hot model with the Burger King crown has plenty of place in there.
No, it doesn't. It
sure
really
she
doesn't.
Does.
No,
she's
it
hot.
Doesn't.
Let her.
If she's a hot CGI model, what are you going to do, jerk off to her? No, of course not. It's not, it's
no,
not
put
needed.
Put a cutscene in. Put
wow,
in.
I didn't even think about that, Tony. You got some creative mind there.
Hey.
What are you thinking of?
Ethan told me about it, but...
Ethan, what are you drinking? I definitely understand your point in that a boxing telecast does not do that, and I agree with you there.
Right.
You know?
Again, look, the real question gets back to why is this allowed to happen, and when? At what point do they stop? And the issue is that it's a lot like difference in cable television and network television in that if you pay for HBO, you don't have to watch a lot of ads. Now you do. It used to be HBO had no ads except for HBO programming. Now you'll actually see a Pepsi ad in an HBO preview for an HBO show. So they're even starting to let...
Really? I haven't seen that.
I'm sorry, I haven't either.
They're ads for The Sopranos that where they put a. It's not even like an ad. It's not an ad like showing clips with.
It's Pepsi product
in the
placement.
Show. No.
Or no.
It's not product placement. It's like a Pepsi. They're doing like the HBO logo is on the screen, and then there's like a not sponsored by. I forget what it says, but it says like provided by Pepsi or something, and then they start the
really?
Sopranos logo.
What the fuck? They have a lot of nerve.
Well,
that's the point
bizarre.
Is, the point is that, listen, the issue is that. A company, the company's job, and a game company's job, and HBO's job is to get as much money as they can. If they can
yeah,
sell,
of course, I understand that.
Right.
Yeah,
so they're looking to provide the right balance between how much money they get from advertisers and where they put it, and the stuff that interrupts, you know, your experience. Obviously,
well, guess
you
what?
Feel,
they should lower the fucking price then.
Well, it's not that they should lower the price. They just want to increase profit. So they don't want to lower the price. They want to keep the price the same. They want to maximize their profit. The issue is when a game like. The Burger King guy in a boxing ring, did that actually stop you from buying the game? At what point will you say, I'm not
right.
going to buy this game because
right.
the ads are too intrusive? That's the only thing that will get the game industry to stop.
Well, then, yeah, I think at this point, Austin, would you even put down any hard-earned dollars, even bargain bin dollars, for this game?
Besides the fact that it was made by EA...
Yeah, excluding that. No, excluding that.
I mean, let's just...
because it could have been anybody.
Okay,
no.
Well, actually, okay,
yeah,
so...
Not counting that.
Finite Round 3 being the game that it is the ad too intrusive? I might put bargain bin dollars down for it. I would definitely not buy it at full price, given the fact that Xbox 360 games from third parties at $60 are way too expensive anyways.
Right.
Would I pay $40 for it to be spiteful? No. Would I pay $30 for it to be spiteful? No. Would I pay $20 for it? At that point, I'd give in because then I'm like, okay, well, obviously, you know, this is a leftover copy on the shelf. It's whatever, whatever. I gypped them out of $40 already, so why not?
No.
You know, because it's a good game from what I hear. It is a good game that deserves your dollars. It's just that how much obnoxiousness can you tolerate?
Well, the other advantage is what you might see is a game company that as part of their advertising of their own game, instead of like, hey, this game is great, might be no in-game ads or fewer in-game ads or less intrusive in-game ads if this really becomes a problem. As those games gain profit, the other game companies will take note and they'll realize that they'll sell more games and overall make money if they don't put as intrusive ads in their game as they're doing now. Or people won't care, and we're going to have to live with this for the rest of our lives.
I just want to say that there's, you know, other than the tie-ins in the game, there have actually been games that have been whole games modeled after some product.
Noid.
Yo-Noid.
Yo-Noid on the NES. Yep.
NES. Cool Spot.
Yep. Which is actually a decent game.
It's all right.
It was actually a decent game.
The animation was good.
I'm talking about the Super Nintendo version.
Oh, Super Nintendo version?
Yeah.
Well, the animation was good on the Genesis version, but it was just a platform game. Back, back, jump, jump. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And McKids.
McKids.
McKids. Yes.
Right.
Touching on. That was for the NES, I believe, and the. Was it? No, I think it was just for the NES.
Jesus.
Which one are you talking about again? I'm sorry.
McKids.
There was a McDonald's, a Ronald McDonald Treasure Land game for the Genesis, and the only reason that I would ever play that game is because the developer, Treasure, is one of the best developers I've ever, you know, had the pleasure of playing games from.
Treasure is good.
So, if you made Gunstar Heroes, and you made frickin' Ikaruga, and you made Radiant Silver Gun, and you made, what else did they make? Dynamite Headache.
You also made Mischief Makers!
Mischief Makers, yeah. You made that, you made Silhouette Mirage, okay, I'll give you... Pick a McDonald's product. Well, maybe I won't. Never mind. No, I won't. That's just too absurd. I'm not going to play the McDonald's game.
That's way old.
I'll give them the benefit. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here. Exactly. Ooh. What would be the advantage of having an advertiser in a game anyway? Obviously, the advantage is they get money to develop a game from an outside source just for putting their product into the game. Okay.
Yep.
Which means that adds to their development dollars. Which means they might put out a pretty decent game. On the other hand, if you give these companies the impression that you need their money, they might overtake it and make the advertisements part of the game no matter where you go. So, for instance, if you have a game like, say, True Crime Streets of New York,
yeah.
where one of the locales is Times Square, realistically, you'll want to see advertisements there.
Absolutely.
It would be great to get advertisement dollars to make New York as real as possible.
Absolutely.
So therefore,
absolutely,
you would love to see all these advertisements for ABC, for you know, all these different things. You would love to see
special weather.
Exactly. You would love to see the Toys R Us down there. You would love to see all of that, because that is what Times Square is all about. You would love to see all of that.
Nissan Cup of Noodle.
Exactly.
Nissan Cup of Noodle.
I just thought of another game by the
full of chemistry goodness.
Put it this way. If they had got the advertisement dollars to do that, they would have went all out to make it look as perfect as possible.
Sure.
On the other hand, you get a game where you go to and try to get advertisement dollars, and they say, well, we want to be plugged as much as possible in this game. And if I'm in a survival horror game, and everywhere on the, if there's like papers strewn about, all the papers say Doritos or like, you know, like Seagram's Gin or like, you know, anything. That kind of detracts from my video game experience, because nobody has papers like that. And if you're
going through
like a dark alley, maybe seeing a movie advertisement is not what you see in a dark alley. Okay, so
that's
where I draw the line. Where to become applicable? I think it's applicable in video games that are sports games. For instance, if I was playing an NBA 2K6 game, and they had like what you want to outfit your star player with, and they had like all these shoes from Nike or Puma or Champion or anything, and you could pick these different shoes, different styles, that adds to the game experience. Because I wouldn't see an NBA player in Payless shoes. It's not going to happen. Okay? So, you know, that would add to the video game experience there, because it's kind of real. If you play Gran Turismo, they have Bridgestone tires, they have, you know, all these advertisements, and you can pick your own rims from different companies, and you can pick your own cars, and, you know, the sports cars, you know, the racer cars have advertisements for everywhere else. That's real. That's where it's applicable. So it adds to the feel of realism.
Right.
I have to play a game where the main basis is just to advertise for this one company. For example, that boxing game you mentioned where I have to see the Burger King man dance around in whole high def glory. Go fuck yourself. Okay? That's plain and simple. That's my opinion. I said it.
There's another game that's interesting that was where it's kind of like an ad surrounding where the game was made just for the ad, which is America's Army. It's not the traditional way of doing it.
Aha, good point. Very good point.
Yeah, but this is an example where the government decided they need to recruit for, you know, soldiers. What better way than to develop a video game, and they have an open window for all kinds of propaganda and advertising.
And it's free.
And it's free.
They don't need to charge.
Now, in that sense, this is an example where maybe advertising and games and that marriage is really kind of successful. If you can get a game and you offer it for free because the advertiser is going to totally pick up the bill, then it's kind of like network TV. You know, the airwaves are free and you just need to buy the device to get the signal. That's kind of ideal. The other the moral issue here is that it's probably not the first time where the government's been involved in sponsoring ads for games, and it's probably not the last. And in that sense, you can have this... I don't know how you do it, but you have, you know, the government deciding that in certain games they want to promote certain messages, let's say in children's games, about who knows what, about, you know, same-sex marriage. I have no idea, but they can pay the game developers to put in like the next Mario Brothers that like Luigi and Mario can never touch each other on the pants. Or something.
They're brothers. That would be incest. Okay. Not just same-sex marriage. That would be incest.
Well, maybe they don't want to.
Mario.
Same-sex incest.
Listen, there's a lot of incest in this country. There's a lot of incest in this country.
Give me take him off.
No, there's a lot of incest in Iowa and places like that, and the government needs to protect against that. These are moral issues raised from the battleground of video games.
We get to marry. We can change our name to Maruigi. Sounds good.
Hey, and you know what, Ben? Like, let's say they would have kids. Imagine how messed up those kids would look like, Mario and Luigi's kid. First of all, it's
they'd be plumbish for life.
Yeah, second of all, you'd
have to...
Oh, my God, pipe? Yeah. You know, Luigi got dumped in this toxic whey plant, and now he's, like, growing eggs. And like, yeah, he's...
Toxic.
It's not toxic. Yeah, exactly.
Sleep on it a while.
You sleep on it.
You sleep on it.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
That was sweet. Yeah, go ahead. Is that it? That that Mario and Luigi would get married? Was that your whole point?
No, my advertising. Okay, clearly.
Here's a summary of today's podcast. In-game advertising leads to incestual plumber marriage.
Listen.
Brothers.
All right,
gay
obviously my
marriage
message has been overshadowed.
George Bush!
By
amazingly possible and likely marriage between Mario and Luigi. But the real issue is that government or public or other organizations, I don't know, Right to Lifers, can sponsor games and promote games that that forward their...
That would just be propaganda. I mean, like,
yeah,
more propaganda
be,
than the Arma game. I mean, like...
Well, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Well, not really.
No,
because, you know, when you talk about the Arma, you're talking about an ideal of America. Even like, the Christian right wings and whatever, they could believe in that. So, yeah, you make a game like that, and it shows Army realism and stuff like that. Well, it ties into the Army. Right to Life, you're talking about a game that is not going to be popular.
They've done it, actually.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's
Send
a
me the link.
Internet where you can go around and shoot abortion doctors. It's like a
Oh, get out.
Game.
Yeah, well,
but
no,
it's a flash game.
Yeah, no, it's a little...
Is it hugely popular game?
No. My that's not my point, that it's hugely popular. My point is that it's already being done, and that you can take... And that they are the same, that the game, that America's Army is an organization that wants to make people be part of their organization and has therefore released a free game to help do that.
Okay, this goes into another subject. This goes into, do we want to mainstream games like that? Like, do you think a game about Right to Life could be ported on a, say, PlayStation 2 or
an
Xbox?
Because,
of course not.
Well, the only reason why is because it's too controversial and no game studio or PlayStation wouldn't license the game.
Are you okay
However,
today? Do you have, like, a cleft palate or something?
Sorry?
What?
What?
He said controversial.
I don't know.
Your ears are clogged.
Yeah, you're deaf,
listen,
dude.
My headset.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, not necessarily for a console, but for PC, when you have games that run in browsers, and they can be pretty deep now, it doesn't really matter. The licensing issues don't matter, so... They'll just release this on their own, and a computer will play the game. So, yeah, I mean, consoles, you're kind of protected from consoles because Sony and Nintendo would never license a game that's that controversial. Not. But if they can just post a download on a website, done. Got your video game.
You know, there's a game that's coming out. It's a Christian RTS.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
You know
yeah,
what?
No, this
actually
makes perfect
There's a Christian
sense.
RTS, and there's a, and this is actually kind of good, a little bit cheesy, but kind of good. There's this game, this third-person shooter about cancer. It's called, I don't mean to laugh because I don't think it's a funny subject, but it's called Remission. But it's basically, it's a shooter, and you're trying to kill cancer cells.
No, that is good, though.
It's got a good message behind it. So, you know, it can be advantageous in certain ways.
Wasn't there a Bible game for, like, the PS2? I remember going
there was a Bible game for the NES called, like, Noah's Ark or something.
Yeah.
Some shit. I don't know.
But that's it. No, but that's another good example, and this actually was licensed by a major company. Especially if you're talking about, like, the Catholic religion or the Christian religion.
Mm-hmm.
They can get in that stuff easily because it's considered kind of part of family values. Yet it can be extremely subversive if
you're... Yeah, it's a morality issue, yeah.
Right. Like, if you're kind of us and you don't think that one religion should be pushed on a person more than another, I highly doubt that you would ever see a game about, like, a rabbi that goes around trying to convert people or giving verses. Yet you will see a game about priests going around and doing, well, not raping boys, but doing any other thing.
Whoa!
Hey-o!
Hey!
Hey! That's what I do.
No, but I mean, seriously, that's a fact.
Let's just get down to the nitty gritty. We know that this is going to happen. And
Tony, before you go on, I'm really sorry, but I have to bring up the news on this Bible Adventures game for the NES.
Sure.
It wasn't licensed, Ethan. It was unlicensed.
Oh,
how did they get
Ethan,
it out?
Do you remember that? No one knows. But do you remember Shinobi on the NES?
Yes.
The other version of Tetris on the NES. The other version of Pac-Man on the NES. Those were made by this company called Tengen, whatever.
Yeah.
And it had those weird black Nintendo cartridges, like they were black and they were shaped differently.
Yeah.
They found a way to bypass Nintendo's, like, licensing. They found a way to get past that licensing chip, and so they basically, what they did was they published their own games that were unlicensed that could be played on Nintendo, and, you know, they're kind of this short of bootleg because they're not really authorized, but they were legitimate games. So this Bible Adventures game is also unlicensed, and there's a Wikipedia entry in here called, Bible Adventures is an unlicensed Nintendo cartridge released in 1991 by Wisdom Tree and in 1995 for the Sega Genesis.
Well, then that even
it contains three different games: Noah's Ark, Baby Moses, and David and Goliath, all of which are based rather loosely on stories from the Hebrew Bible. The gameplay of these games is side-scroller style, similar to that of Super Mario 2. The game has been criticized for being overly didactic. In other words, gameplay is broken up by Bible verses, for being highly derivative of Super Mario Bros. 2, and for generally bad gameplay. Nevertheless, it sold reasonably well in Christian bookstores. It has featured in many lists of the worst games ever.
There you go.
Yeah, but the game sold. That's a perfect point. Then they don't even have to get
sold.
A license.
I mean, right. Okay, well, let's just put it this way. Isn't part of the reason they were able to get past the licensing is it says not endorsed by Nintendo Entertainment System?
No.
There was a technological block that Nintendo put in the NES. They had a chip that if it wasn't licensed, they wouldn't, like, the, right. whatever, the, however
I
it worked,
it
there was a
like
chip.
I thought it was like GameShark or, other, you know, something
no,
like that.
No,
the
no.
other issue is Nintendo can totally sue them anyway. You're not allowed to make stuff for Nintendo or any console without the maker's permission, period.
Yeah, that's what happened. They went after Tengen, and Tengen was like, crap.
Yeah, no, they get sued. So the point is, they can release it all they want, but they are liable at the point.
Hey, Tengen released Gauntlet.
What's that?
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, they released Gauntlet.
Gauntlet, very, very, very popular game. Nintendo didn't want to do it. Tengen did.
And did they release it?
Tony's Ponyta is about to die.
Did they get sued over it? Did they get sued over it?
Well, I'm sure they probably got sued over it, but it sold a lot of copies because everybody wanted to play
Right,
Gauntlet.
So maybe, you know what, it's maybe worth it for an unlicensed game company, like especially, like a Christian right-to-life company, to make a really controversial game where you go and hunt abortion doctors, fucking put out the cartridge, sell it, and then, like, get sued and be like, yeah, well, we made
yeah,
40 billion
made
in sales,
millions.
We'll
yeah.
give you...
It's the same thing with telemarketing, but that's a different story altogether. Let's get telemarketing.
No
anyway, telemarketing.
No. Let's avoid that.
Yeah, I'm saying that's a different subject altogether. Let's move on. Let's get down to the
telemarketing.
Listen.
What?
Ethan. Yeah. Ethan, shut the fuck up.
I'm trying to understand what the hell you're saying.
I said, let's move on. Get down to the nitty gritty. What would you do? I mean, this is going to happen anyway, okay? We're going to get advertisements in games. It's just going to get
propaganda,
worse.
Propaganda, advertisements,
yes,
soliciting.
Yes, it's just
going to
get worse. We know
accounting
this.
Services.
But what exactly would be the stopping factor in you buying a game that was just totally geared for advertising?
Mine would be probably a lot. I would buy it more than others, I think. I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
Are
what?
You serious?
I didn't hear that. You just muttered something about
yeah,
your bananas.
Said you would buy it.
It doesn't bother me as much as everyone else. It just I find that my tolerance level for that stuff is higher.
Let me put it this way, Ethan. You know how you get a DVD... and you're trying to watch a movie, and they put this advertisement for movies they're either making or have them...
You wouldn't steal from a store.
Yeah.
No, downloading is stealing.
And
you wouldn't steal, would you?
Hold on. Listen, you're trying to play the movie, okay? They're advertising for movies they made or movies that are coming out, direct to DVD or VHS, whatever, okay? And you can't fast-forward this stuff.
Oh, I hate that.
That goes into the point where Austin said about the power bar in the NBA game. If it's going to go to this point where you have to be subjected to an advertising, slogan, would you buy it?
I have 2 points on that. One, yes. Oh. Two, it doesn't. Two, it doesn't matter because they're not going to tell you something like that before you buy the DVD, and you'll never know which DVD has it. Pointless question. Yes,
no,
it.
It's not pointless because
Tony, the only
when it
time
to
you're
going to
know is after you bought the DVD and put it in.
Oh no.
We're talking about video games, though.
Yeah, but then, you know, more people are. Want to be informed more about a game, okay, well, I would, okay,
sure.
than a DVD. I mean, like,
if
you know, you buy a DVD, you're buying a movie that you've either seen or want to see. You expect that crap. You expect the, you know, previews for movies and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that at all. When I buy a video game, I do not expect to be bombarded by advertisements.
If they release a video game that I think is good and it gets a good review and then they complain a lot about an ad that runs in the beginning of the game that you have to watch every time, I don't care. I will buy the game anyway. That's my point. And
I think
will an ass load of people.
No way.
I would, Tony, I would too, and I'll tell you why. I think the difference is you're starting up the game, there's an ad that comes on, it's freaking annoying, and this is what I alluded to last week, actually. I think that would be incredibly annoying. But what's worse, sitting every time you start up the game and sitting through an ad, or being peppered constantly during the gameplay with 7-second uninterruptible ads?
Oh,
you give me one choice or the other. I would take the ads
the
in the
first
beginning
one.
Because I'm already sitting through, and this is not even advertisement, this is just like vanity. You know, you boot up, let's say Splinter Cell Chaos Theory, you boot it up, you get the Ubisoft logo, You get the Dolby Digital Surround logo. You get the logo of the studio that built the game. You get the logo of the compression technology that they used to make the cinematics. No, you can't.
Really?
I can't.
Huh? Okay, go on.
And that is unskippable, but because during the game it's not peppering me, I'm all right with that.
Okay.
Like, I shouldn't say I'm all right with that, but I'm willing to spend the money because the core content that you interact with, because that's the key here. Video games are interactive and movies are not. The core content that you interact with is not interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I have to look up my mission objectives on a Sony Ericsson PDA, obnoxious, but it doesn't interrupt my actual button pressing. It's part of the game. That's fine. If I brought up my Sony Ericsson PDA in Splinter Cell Chaos Theory and it said, "One moment, loading the PDA, download your update today, blah, 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 I'm Sony, I'm Ericsson, we're married," and then you get to look at your PDA missions, then I would say, Chaos 3, I'm not going to buy you.
Well,
that's my tipping point, is that when it interrupts the gameplay at large, and the NBA thing, that's 5 seconds, that's pretty bad, but that's not, like, huge.
Yeah, but Shell, what you're saying now is that you're accepting of the future. That's it. I mean, that's it. It's going to happen, and you don't have no misgivings about doing this, and there's where I am in a minority again, you know. So I mean,
well, I'm not entirely
you
accepting.
Are a minority.
Of, I'm not entirely accepting of the future in that. In that, like, I'm not entirely accepting of the future in that, like, if they really pepper the beginning of a game with like an ad, I could be naive, but I really don't think it'll get to the point where you're sitting through, well, I don't know, use of DVDs, right? So.
Yeah.
When I watch the average DVD, if I'm not putting it into my computer where I can skip those things, I'm sitting there for 5 whole minutes.
Yes.
If that happens in a game...
Yes!
If that happens in a game, I don't know what I'll do. I'll have to not buy it and see if they respond. And they probably won't, because there are enough people out there that were like, "What is that? Okay, I'll just buy the game." They'll just buy the game. They don't know any better.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Maybe there would be like a, you know, maybe they should put something on there that says sponsored by this. And then you would be like, okay, I know how
to. If they had it on the freaking box, I'd be fine.
Yeah. I mean, like if they had it, then you'd be like, okay, this is what I'm buying. Okay, they're going to give me advertisements, and I'm just going to have to sit there and watch them. Okay.
My whole thing is, at the end of the day, if you give me a game like The Elder Scrolls IV, Oblivion, a fantasy role-playing game, I don't want to see a Pepsi ad in that game.
Yes.
Put the Pepsi ad in Fear. I'm fine with that.
Right.
Don't put it in Oblivion.
Right.
Nobody's even talking about the fact that if the advertising stuff gets bad enough, then they'll just be released, you know, people release cracks for the game to prevent the ad for loading. If it's a game, you know, it's a 5-minute ad before the game starts.
It's hard to do that for console games.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, very for console games, but not for PC games.
I'm talking about in general as a whole, like, that'll be barely possible, I think.
I don't know. I mean, if they really, really want to, actually, they can do it for console games as well, because you'll just load with a different DVD. Like, if it gets that bad, there'll just be a huge market for it. You know, you load with a different DVD, and it mods whatever the next game is.
I don't think so, only because... and this is me just not having faith in people, but only because the majority of console owners and console gamers aren't tech savvy enough to understand or even want to learn how to do that. There are plenty of ways out there for people to do illegal stuff with their consoles and whatever, and people are willing to do that. Like, people want to do that, but when their friend, who their tech savvy friend, tells them, "Well, these are the steps necessary," then they're like, "Oh, I don't know about that type of shit. Forget it." You know, the console populace is like that.
Right.
Because that's why they have a console instead of a PC, because they don't have to deal with all that stuff.
But the number of people in the console market who are going to care about the advertising are also tiny. So, again, the mass public is just going to accept it, just like they have with everything else. And those small percentage of people like Tony that really can't stand it will find a way around it. So it's really not that bad.
Oh, see, because I thought you were saying that it will come into the mass market, this type of way of circumventing. That's what I thought you were saying.
No.
Okay.
Even on the PC, it takes some tech savvy to, like,
oh, absolutely, and they're getting much better at it.
Yeah, they are. But on a console especially, like, I guess...
Star Force sucks. Sorry.
What?
I'll get that.
I think that, so, there's really no reason to worry that much, because if it gets bad enough where the mass population accepts something that you won't, there's a way to around it, and there's enough people in the minority that know how to get around the stuff that'll help you get around it as well.
Of course, for my own purposes, I'd rather, like, I'd rather not have to do that. I'd rather not have to void my warranty on my console. I'd rather not have to. I know it's coming, but that doesn't make it, you know, doesn't make it acceptable.
No, it doesn't. But it's coming anyway.
That's my point. I mean, like, it's apathy. It's total apathy. It's coming, and you can't do anything about it. No, I mean, if you really
I will do something about it. I won't buy those games.
Exactly. Me neither. And I just can't. I can't bring myself to say that, you know, I'm going to accept the populace that does, because that interferes with my gaming experience. And, you know, they always say that some industry is in trouble when you get more advertising than quality.
All right. Okay. Tony, I think that the main difference between you and me so far is simply the level at which we would stop. I think we both, though,
if you let me play the game, I'm fine with it. Yeah, exactly. You're more into the game experience. I'm more into the games without the, you know, fluff. I mean, like, really, we don't need all that crap. Especially if I'm buying a boxing game sponsored by, like, Sleepy's Mattresses. What the fuck? What? Oh, okay, so the fighter sleeps afterwards. No! Come on, man. It has no place, okay? This is what I'm talking about. If you want to put advertising in the game, do it the way it was. Do it the way you have it now. Baseball games have advertisement. You know, basketball games have advertisements. Not to be, intrusive to the gameplay, but to have advertisement to make it real, okay? Yeah. To make it seem like the video game experience. I do not want advertising that interferes with my game or makes no fucking sense.
You guys need to consider how much you've been acclimated to current advertising pushes in media now, though. I mean, you've accepted the channel thing on the bottom of the bottom right screen. You've accepted the fact that there are...
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. But maybe because we thought there was nothing we could do about it.
Well, my point is that you might consider that if they keep doing this slowly and slowly and slowly, you'll find in 10 or 15 years when there's ads everywhere that you've accepted it. That it's already happened to you in other situations.
And there you go, that's apathy.
Let me tell you this, Ethan.
It's not apathy.
No,
it's adjustment. No, it isn't. It's adaptation. It's totally different.
No.
Yes. It's not that you don't care.
Not necessarily, Ethan. There are some people who bitch and moan, but because of apathy, they say, well, I can't do anything about it, so they just go with it. They don't say, I'm used to it now. They say, I hate this, but
I'm not saying that they say they don't care. I'm saying they say they care, and then they cease to care. Because they get used to it. That's totally different. And that's what
I'm talking about people who don't cease to care. Mm-hmm. But because of apathy, they're like, eh.
Look, I never ceased to care about the channel thing. I never ceased to care about it. It's just that I thought they did it for a security reason. Not because of an advertising reason. No, security. Because if you record from there and they want to bust you on it, like, you have the station logo on the bottom. Sorry. You know, I thought that's what it was for. Ethan disagrees.
Well, yeah, I mean, you spoke. I disagree.
I'll just give you the reason, to be honest with you, the reason why I haven't bought SWAT 4 is out of spite for those little ads.
Oh.
That are dynamic. Like, I'm sure it's a great game, and I've wanted to try it, but I'm willing to forego that because it's obnoxious to me.
That's interesting, because in this game, it's really not intrusive. Have you played it?
No, and I know it's not intrusive, but, like, the concept of how they sit there, and I know, you know, as a marketing major, you know, I should be overjoyed with the fact that they can track how long you're looking at an ad. It just seems obnoxious to me, so
you're
I'm not going to buy it.
Boycotting the system. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. No, but this is an interesting specific example because I recognize what you say. Like, you know, you feel like you should be excited about it because you're a marketing guy, and this is, it's just kind of using technology in a marketing way that's kind of revolutionary.
But this to a paranoid Big Brother effect. I mean, like, do you really want to play a game that is tracking, I mean, like, your video game movements on how you look at something like that? I mean, that's pretty creepy. If they could track something like that, couldn't they track a lot more?
This is great topic where you and I will totally disagree, and it's going to be hilarious. Because,
is next week's topic.
Well, you are right. I mean, Tony has always been ultra paranoid about Big Brother in every way, and somehow Tony thinks.
Wait, Tony. If you put a hanger and you cover it with aluminum foil and then wear a football helmet, they can't track.
No.
This
I'm
is
not
good.
That funny.
Tony believes that the NSA is monitoring every phone call that Tony is engaged in. Tony would always think his phone is being tapped, and I would always wonder what important shit does Tony think that they would even be interested in.
What they're interested in. It's because they can do it, and they
I know. That was.
Do you watch 24? They do this shit, man. God.
But so the great thing is, like, I personally, I don't, like, Big Brother's never really bugged me. I don't have a,
actually, the reason why, Ethan, and I'll disclose it now, I am the president.
He is leading a nation from the project,
I don't speak
ladies
Spanish,
and gentlemen.
But I am the president of Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
My phone is tapped constantly.
Project to land.
No, but this is a good, it's a good question. I mean, I think, and it's relevant, or it's kind of, it's nice that we have a balance of opinions here, because Tony definitely hates Big Brother, I think. He doesn't like it when people monitor what he does. Personally,
absolutely.
I don't really give a crap. I don't care. Once something's illegal, made illegal, and it's a moral question, and you feel like it shouldn't be illegal, you engage in it anyway, and if a large enough population engage in it, then it becomes legal again. And so I kind of think that that balance takes care of itself, and the monitoring issue is not as big a deal. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
And others feel totally differently. They think that it shouldn't even be monitored.
That's because the process is slower than you imagine it to be. I mean, like, really. You could be one of the people subjected to this stupid fucking thing.
Yeah, no.
And
no,
then
no,
eventually, you know, it gets overturned because everybody sees it as a stupid thing. But guess what? You live through it. Okay,
well, give
so,
me an example of what you think, like, what's a negative outcome of, you know, an in-game monitoring type of utility?
Well, for instance, if they could monitor your looks at advertisements, they could also monitor your violence intent, okay? So let's say they want to profile you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they want to go and see how much you like shooting people in the head or shooting it. You would be blacklisted if you ever did were involved in a crime, maybe not your fault or not, but they could take that analysis and profile you. Okay? And I think that's totally unfair. A video game has no... I mean, maybe in the most extreme cases, you play a video game because you can't do this in real life. But when I play a video game, I know it's a video game. And what I do in a video game does not reflect my real life. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to profile me based on my likes or dislikes, on my wants or needs, on anything like that, and try to make that a case study of my life, no fucking way. You have no clue.
My personal
opinion
on this is if you're in a violent game, they will not be able to distinguish a level if you're playing a game that's a shooter.
Well, they may. I mean, because if you strategize and stuff like that, maybe they send this information to the army. Maybe they try to recruit you. Or maybe they try to
recruit me. I don't care. That part doesn't...
Well,
you don't care. You're not going to get recruited by the army if you don't want to be recruited. Like, it doesn't matter.
You ever heard of the draft system?
I have flat feet.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that they're going to initiate a draft based on video game violence level?
I mean, they could track advertisements.
Well, they do that now.
Yeah.
Right, but I don't have a problem saying...
My point is, what other information are they tracking?
It doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying.
No, it does matter. Something is worth something to someone, no matter what... I mean, that's what it is, okay? That's what it is. No matter what you do in a game, if it's being tracked by one thing, somebody else is tracking another. And I don't think it should be tracked. It's a fucking video game. I mean, that's the whole point.
The thing that bothers me about it, and it's not as intense as what Tony's gripe with it, my gripe is just that, like...
Tony, you would make the best weed smoker.
my gripe is that they'll take what I look at, and they're going to use... Like if I were a marketer, I'd take what someone looked at, I would say, okay, well, this is what they're looking at for X amount of minutes, this is what they're interested in, I'm going to make more ads based on it. And it's kind of funny how I'm about to put this, but it's like, if I'm staring at an ad for X amount of minutes that, like, you know, I kind of get sidetracked by, they're going to know that I'm interested in that stuff. In addition to marketing whatever products or whatever, and using that to gauge, you know, the public interest, they might also gauge, okay, well, these guys who looked at this ad for this product will look at ads for this product again, this new ad for this product, or an ad for a similar product. So let's put that in the game. Let's change that and put that in the game, and let's distract them even more. You know, like, I don't want my propensity for being distracted to be taken advantage of, basically.
Right.
So if they know what I'm distracted by and they'll capitalize on that,
yes.
I don't want that.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
You know what? That brings up another interesting point, though.
Point!
The more they put in, like, in-game advertising that does distract you, and the more then you get used to ignoring it and they have to find new ways to distract you, it may actually net improve your ability to focus.
Can I ask you something?
I'm sorry. curing attention deficit disorder.
I didn't quite pay attention to what you were saying, but can I ask you something?
No.
Talking to.
Yeah. Ethan.
Yes.
You said that it tracks how long you look at the advertisement, right?
Here, I'll read you the little... It's just a quick paragraph.
No,
let me read it anyway, because it's good.
Okay,
I'm going to read it anyway.
Fine.
Reading is fundamental.
And I'm going to prove it. I can read. They reported that after the player is finished, the game contacted MadServer to tell the advertisers how long the gamer spent with each advert in their view. This is mapped to the gamer ID, so they know which player in the game saw the advert, and when, for how long, and from how far away. Even the average viewing angle is passed back.
Wow, that's really shameful.
You know what bothers me? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. You had a point that was pressing right now. You might forget it. Go for it.
Oh, I was saying what really bothers me now that I know more about it is that you said it's mapped to the gamer's ID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's you set up a gamer ID. Right, like...
I am definitely not buying this game then.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care.
It was bad enough.
It
was bad enough that they do it in the first place.
Uh-huh.
But if it was anonymous, if they just tracked the numbers.
Sure.
That's obnoxious, but whatever. But now that I know that they're mapping it to me and it's not anonymous, it's not private.
I'm not gonna give Swan my money. That's what I was getting to. Hold on.
Let me comment on the gamer ID part, because the gamer ID could be a non identifying ID.
It doesn't matter because it's still
Then it's still anonymous, is what I'm saying.
But the gamer ID is mapped back somehow to your system or to your user account or whatever.
No. Gamer ID could literally be like primary key that's auto numbered. Like, it could be anything. Gamer ID doesn't mean like the name.
Until Sierra contacts me and tells me that for sure, I'm not giving them my money.
Well, I'll look it up. No, it's a good point. But even.
And I'm still not giving them my money anyway.
No, I know. But we should settle the question.
Bullshit. Yeah.
No, I don't. I mean, I just don't even care. Like, I don't care if they know my name. It just doesn't bother me.
I do.
Therein lies the problem. You're really accepting of something that most people, most normal people, most people not as ready to be raped as you, would not be ready to accept.
I have to disagree with you. I think most people are accepting.
Here's the thing that I wanted to ask you.
The game sold well.
But look, I want to ask you, maybe if it wouldn't have sold well if people knew this.
Yeah, but look at Windows.
Everybody
knows that Windows sends personal identification, but everybody buys Windows. Everybody, even
businesses.
No,
they have no choice. What are they going to buy? IBM OS?
Mac.
Come on.
Mac. They buy Mac.
No, I mean, fuck
Mac. You know Mac would probably do the same thing if they had to.
I am talking
about. But they don't. They don't do the same thing.
Wait. Hold on. Let's get off the computer stuff. Because I could talk about IBM OS up the ass. I don't give a fuck. Somebody wants to buy a personal computer if they get Windows and stuff like that. Windows is the only thing out there. Windows is the only thing that works better than OS.
No. You're wrong.
Listen,
you're just wrong.
No, OS, I don't want to talk about it. Listen.
Fine, but you're wrong.
Mac is working, and everybody buys Mac.
The problem is that there are a minority of people that care enough that personal identification is getting through in Windows to buy Mac. That's my point.
Okay. All right. So.
I guess it's different when I consider my productivity versus I just want to sit down and have some fun. I don't want to worry about this shit.
I got a question.
There's a difference there.
Wait, I'm not sure.
What are you saying, Tony?
I'm sorry. Ethan, yeah. You said that they can track you from, how long, like if you see it in the distance and stuff like that. What if you, mouse over and catch just a glimpse of the advertisement? Does it send, the percentage of advertisement viewage to the people as well?
I don't know.
I think that's an unfair study then.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, most likely they're a little bit smarter about programming this thing, and they'll say, a look at an ad is defined by more than 3 seconds of viewing an ad.
Well, then if that's the case, they need the 3 seconds of total full-on attention, which most likely you won't get, so the study is inaccurate.
What they might do is they might tally the total number of seconds that it's looked at, and then divided by the number of impressions. Average amount of time looked at an ad. Something like that.
That's even if you get, a corner of the advertisement that you didn't want to see.
I guess. Oh, my God, what happens if you have a widescreen monitor? Then you might see more ads.
I'm not sure I understand where you're going with this one.
Well, what I'm going at is if they're going to track something, they have to be absolutely sure that that's the gamer's interest and not something that the gamer encountered during the game.
Well, I mean, that's really just going to affect their own personal performance,
which is stupid, because they might generalize that they need to put more advertisements in the game.
True,
okay?
But that doesn't affect the user. That only affects their results. Like, it has no effect on you.
What I was initially getting at is if all the gamers spent less time paying attention to these ads in the game, maybe the sequel to this game will be peppered with that advertisement, and I think that's pretty fucking lame.
Oh, I don't know. We'll see.
SWAT 5, starring Samuel L. Jackson and LL Cool J.
They made an expansion pack. Like, these in-game ads were for the first game, and the expansion pack came out, and there's just as many ads.
Oh, wow.
The expansion pack came out 4 months after the release of the game.
Okay.
So, I don't know. The game's selling well. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I just don't think people really... They don't see... I think are concerned about their privacy, and, mm-hmm. and they like the First Amendment, and they like right. the Constitution.
Right.
They, well, it's not the First Amendment, but they don't really worry specifically about this type of information because they just don't see the malicious use possibility, mm-hmm. especially on ad stats. Like,
yeah,
who
that's
cares
called.
If they know how long I'm spending looking at an ad. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's
and
called
to
naivety.
Me,
I mean, like, really, it's total naivety. But you know, tomato, tomato. You go on.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just telling you what
you call it harmless. I call it, you know, total naivety. That's
but
all.
Again, I mean, I've asked you, especially for this specific type of information that's getting back, what can they possibly do with it that would affect you?
I would think that, you know, it would be funny if they could personalize based on a demographic. They would give out a game, you know, based on the games that were bought in this area, based on that information they got. We would get different games than other people got.
Sure, but wasn't that better for the advertisers and better for you?
No, it's better for the advertisements, worse for us.
Why is it worse for you?
Because if I have to,
listen,
if I have to go, okay, and play a game where it's, you're playing this game, okay, and you're playing and you see Pepsi ads and stuff like that, and you're not, you're like, oh, Pepsi, you know, I drink that. You know, if I have to play the same game and have to see Timberland ads or like fucking any fucking, you know, like, you know, J-Lo or fucking, you know, P. Diddy fucking clothing. No fucking way. I don't want to be involved in that. That doesn't reflect me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But I guess what you're saying is, like, you want to be able to control that the ad does mean something to you, and you never can. And that's not just apathy. That's just, like, the way of the world. It's up to the advertiser to pick the right people to advertise.
No, but I don't
want to
be grouped in a demographic. That's the whole thing. You know,
but how does that affect you? How does that change your life?
It affects me because I bought a game that's different from yours. They changed my gaming experience.
That's not an effect. That doesn't affect you. What I'm saying is, how does the ad affect you? How does the ad of J-Lo clothing negatively affect you? Because
well,
you don't like J-Lo clothing?
Because,
and then
one, I hate J-Lo. Two, I hate Diddy. And three, I'm around enough Timberlands
can't
to
stop.
My fucking
won't
blood
stop.
Swell.
Bad boy for life.
So what you're saying is...
What I'm saying, that's not me. That's
no, that your emotions are so not under your control that you can't even just take an ad that makes
no, because it's
to
a different
game.
Can
angry?
I do something? It's not even the fucking ad. It's what they think... They know about me. What they think they know about an area. And
again,
when it all
it doesn't affect you. It
what
doesn't
it all
do
comes down
new.
To is they don't know shit. It's all speculation. And even if you take something that scans how long you look at a game, whether you were sleeping at that time or not, okay,
AFK.
It doesn't mean
I'll tell
shit.
You what, how much more likely are they to give you an ad that will make a difference to you if they do use demographics than if they don't?
Oh, they're definitely successful in that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't want to be included in that demographic just because I live in that demographic. You don't understand what I'm saying?
I do understand what you're saying. But again, I'm saying too bad. Like, that's how it's used.
That's
and it
a shame.
No,
it's
not.
I don't want it to go there.
It's not
I don't
a shame.
Want it to go there.
But
that's my point.
But why not? You benefit from that, actually.
No, I
yes,
don't.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
I don't. They're not going to sell the game $30 cheaper just because yours says Pepsi and mine says Timberland.
No, if that company makes more profit, then they'll have more money for the next game.
Oh boy, I don't think so. I think at that
it's
point
true.
It would
if,
be
if
like
it's a successful franchise.
I think at that point it becomes a class system, and I don't want that to happen. Anyway, I'm really off the topic right now.
This is the topic. This is exactly the topic.
No, I'm like in future world of. Separation in classes. I'm in Brave New World right now,
well,
so...
the class thing, I don't even understand.
Yes, Mr. Huxley.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me just jump in here, because...
Sorry, Austin, go ahead.
No, it's okay, but I think that whether or not there's a rational reason behind why Tony and I just dislike it, it's just annoying to me. There's no rational thought behind it. There's just a gut feeling that I don't want to have to deal with that. I don't want that there. Sure. And I don't think it's very fair to say that, you know, it doesn't annoy us. It should annoy us because it does.
Oh, no,
there's
no.
There's some games, for example, to go off topic, there's some games that have certain gameplay elements that I just don't enjoy. Some people do. A lot of people love story in games. I hate it when it interferes with the game. Some people think it's part of the game. To me, an advertisement in the game, if it's done the wrong way, if it's linked to my ID or whatever, I just find it a little bit annoying, and I just feel that way. I can't really say why. It just rubs me the wrong way, and, you know, that's just the way it is with me. And I do understand the benefits of I'm all for the positive effects of getting advertisement in gaming if they were to make the games better, if they made it worth my time, or if they lowered the price. And I know it's a capitalist society. The goal is to make money, not to lower it for the consumer. But if they draw in more consumers, they can potentially make more money. And a good way to do that, a consumer like me, is to lower the price because you're using advertising. That's one of the things.
What if they, you know, what if they just increase their profits so they're making more for the next title? The title survives and
Here's my perfect example of why I personally couldn't give a shit about that, because that is what EA has been doing for the last couple of years. I have not seen a game from them that I really care about. Mm-hmm. Never mind the fact that, you know, when they took the NFL license, I'm not even talking about that little boycott that I started, and I've gotten a lot of flack of it from the forums and stuff, and I don't give a shit. But when they took the NFL license, myself and my friend Gideon, we were like, we're not going to take this. We're not going to buy EA games. Before that, they were the biggest ones in using advertisement in gaming or some sort of cross-marketing scheme. They, you know, they make a lot of money. They are one of the, if not the biggest publishers. They have a lot of money. The games they put out, I don't care about. I don't think they're that great. I don't think they've improved on themselves. I don't think that they're worth the money to spend. I don't think that they're using the money wisely. That's just me.
Sure.
But it's an example of why is it bad that they're going to take the money and make better games with it? Because they're not.
Well, mm-hmm. Let's assume, I mean...
And they haven't, and they never will.
Well, hold on. I mean, I would bet that... Well, I disagree in some sense in that EA, maybe not, I don't know. But certainly a company like Sierra that's making extra money from the Swamp 4 game can come out with a SketchUp Syndicate and make it. And that expansion pack is going to be better because of the advertising dollar that went to that game. And they're going to continue the series because it was overall a successful series. So that they got that money from game sales or advertising or a combination of both. And that's the point. That it's not just that they make better games, it's that the series that you would love will be back for another season because the game
was
successful.
Because you bought it, and that's corporate.
Because overall, when you look at the accounting on that game, the game was successful. The game caused a profit. And, look at Splinter Cell. Like, if they had a couple ads in some urban Splinter Cell environments, would you mind if there were a couple ads there if you knew that it would help the
But you're missing the first part of my argument. Is SWAT $60?
No.
There you go.
Regular
price.
No, I know. I'm not saying
that. That is my point. It's the combination of the two elements.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that there's probably room for, if they don't lower the price, just because that's a price point for a game, to instead, if they did use that money to further the game itself, mm-hmm. Let's use the hypothetical, not that they haven't, or not that EA does it, but let's say they did, or not EA, mm-hmm. like some other company, Ubisoft, let's say they did, would you pay, I guess, whatever, the same price for the game, knowing that the advertising in the previous game helped contribute to the development of the current game and making
no.
it better?
No, absolutely not.
Really? Okay.
Absolutely
I mean, I
not.
Would. I definitely would.
No,
I don't know that I would.
No,
I would have to, it would have to be a case-by-case basis.
Yeah,
of course it's a case-by-case basis, but let's take a specific case. Let's take, like, a Splinter Cell.
Okay, you know, you want to know what I believe that they spend the most money on, and I could be wrong, but the reason why I don't go for this is because the most that they spend the money on, and I know you two like this, I don't. They concentrate on the graphics and the mm-hmm. technology behind it. And that's fine when it really, really, really does benefit the gameplay. Half-Life 2, that's fine. When they just make it prettier, as is with the case with many next-generation titles, it's just a prettier version of last-generation content.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They take the money, and that's all they put it into. Fuck you guys.
No,
and when I say you guys, I don't mean you and Tony.
No,
I say
no, yeah.
No, you're saying no. No.
And, all right. So, to continue, I want something that I can really, you know, grasp and enjoy, not just look at. You know, you guys know perfectly well that I love looking at advanced technology, but I don't want to put my dollars down in it to own it if it's going to be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think we both agree. I don't think I mean, Tony will speak for himself, but
yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah. And if you just look at if you look at what's going out there, that's all they're doing with their extra money. Not all, but mostly what they're doing with their extra money. NBA 2K6 is going to be one example. If you play it on the Xbox and the 360, it's the same game. It just
mm-hmm.
looks much more realistic on the 360.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's probably where the money went, and that's probably why the game cost $60 when it came out on the shelf.
$20? $15?
$20-$30. Fast forward to Nintendo, and all those games, they were far advanced, you know, graphically. They added one more button, okay? And the games were $50. We move fast forward to, say, Genesis, add three more buttons, the games are $50. Move fast forward to, say, Nintendo 64, and the games are $50. We were talking in Neo Geo's term, all games cost $250. Why? Because at that time, Neo Geo was 24 bits, far advanced than the Sega Genesis. 24 bits in arcade quality, they will provide the same realism and gameplay that their arcade counterparts have. So therefore, with all the megs that they put in there, most games are like over 100 megs, up to 330 megs, back gear, you're going to pay for it. And that's what you're paying for. You're paying for the advancement. Not paying for the gameplay. You're not, because anybody that says Ninja Combat was a good game has to be hit with a tack hammer over his head.
Right,
okay?
But here's the thing. To me, advancement is gameplay. And if you're not going to contribute to the advancement of gameplay, I'm not going to give you my money. And,
that's
the Neo Geo part, all right, cartridges, we're talking about something slightly different, and I'm going to shed some light on this a little bit.
Okay, go for it.
Not only was it a marketing gimmick, oh, yeah, these cartridges are $250 because you're paying for it, logistically, cartridges cost more to make than discs. That's why discs...
No, I understand that, but Nintendo 64 kept it in check. I'm sorry, go on.
It cost more to make, logistically. Mm-hmm. Now that we're coming on the Xbox 360's age, it's not just a marketing tool to say $60 is a premium. The games themselves, not the discs, but the games, cost more to make because they're mandated to take advantage of the advanced hardware by Microsoft. You have to make it progressive scan. You have to make it 720p high definition. You have to make it available in widescreen. Spend the dollars to make this game run on the 360 in widescreen in progressive scan high definition. Spend the extra money to do that because we told you so. Because this is the next generation and graphics are the next big thing.
Well,
it's the high def age. And you know what?
Good.
The gameplay has not advanced.
I have
a 360 right now, and I'm telling you right now that the gameplay has not advanced.
All right, but I have a question for you. Okay, if they're saying they have to pay for all this and all that, this is still a first gen game. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, aren't they supposed to take losses on a first gen game?
No.
Yes.
No.
They always do.
Incorrect. Incorrect.
They always do.
No, Tony. The way the market works is that they're supposed to take a loss on the console and reap the rewards from the games.
No, I totally understand. But how much did it take to make Super Mario 64? Wasn't that like 92 megs, that game?
I don't know. That's not really 92 megs.
But at that time, that was during the Neo Geo age, where, you know, if a cartridge was over 100 megs, it cost $250.
The Neo Geo age actually died out right before the Super Nintendo
finished. I understand that, but they still sold the consoles because
the business model is not that you're supposed to take a loss in the first generation game.
Mm-hmm. You're never supposed to take a loss. There is no business model that's supposed to take a loss unless you know you're scheduling
out. Well,
the only loss that they're supposed to take is on the hardware.
Right.
Because
that's
the gateway. That gets the stuff into the house.
Yeah, I totally understand
with
that.
With which you play the games that they make the profit on.
Yeah, but I totally understand that. But Super Mario 64 was a game that they were like kind of like launching with the system. So maybe that was a tie-in game with the system. But this game was a huge game. I mean, like, it was big. And, you know, it had a lot of megs. I'm not sure if it was, like, 92 megs or maybe even less. But it
besides
had
the megs, just remember that there's a huge difference between megabit and megabyte. So go ahead.
Okay.
You're thinking 92 megs. It probably means it's 12 megabytes on a hard drive.
You think that game was 12 megabytes?
I know that game was small enough.
Okay.
Super Mario 64 fits onto a Nintendo DS card. DS card holds a maximum of 128 megabytes, but it takes up not nearly 20% of that cartridge space.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
So, okay.
I'm not even talking about the size of the chip, and I know that more expensive games are expensive
to
make.
Well, then that's ignorance on my part. No, that's ignorance on my part, because I'm led to believe that megs are megs. That's it.
Marketing. But, yeah, so what I'm saying is that $60 for this, you know, for an Xbox game that doesn't improve the gameplay aspect, but, yeah, it improves the graphics, the reason why I would have paid $50 for a PS2 game or a GameCube game or an Xbox game over a last-generation system from that point, the reason why I would have paid $50 for an N64 game over a Super Nintendo game, the reason why I would pay $60 for a Super Nintendo game over an NES game
is
because there's diminishing returns that we're just seeing now. Before, the leaps between technology were huge enough that the hardware advancement truly impacted the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Diminishing returns means that right now it's not.
Because
the Xbox is an incredibly powerful system for its time. Now it's kind of winding down, but you can still get great games with innovative gameplay. You couldn't do Grand Theft Auto very well on the PlayStation 1 if you tried. You had Driver, yeah, but right? Now that the Xbox and the PS2 came about, you could. Now, what do we get? We get slightly more realistic physics. We get a ton of more characters on screen, but that doesn't necessarily lead to better gameplay.
Okay.
We get bump map textures, lighting, high dynamic range. We already had real-time lighting with Splinter Cell. From here on out, it's just more for the visual effect. Well, what I'm saying is that, okay, so let me backpedal. My whole thing was that, Ethan, you said something, Ethan, about,
I said, basically we were talking about we made up, like, a hypothetical game where, like, if Ubisoft took money they made in in-game advertising in Splinter Cell and actually didn't lower the price of the game but used it
for the betterment of the game. Exactly. And my argument was that
of the game. Exactly. That new hardware and the new stuff that's coming out, that it's impossible to do that, essentially. I think
it's not it's not bettering the game, and for that point, if you're going to take those advertising dollars, to me it just kind of makes no sense because they're not really making the game better with the advantage of all the dollars that advertisements bringing in.
Right.
They're really not making it better.
So Austin was saying basically that is illustrating that even when they do that, they're actually not making the game better. They're really only investing in a difference in graphics.
Well, I don't think they invested that money. I think they pocketed it. That's it.
Or that. Or they could have pocketed it.
Yeah.
You know, and that, again, that's not cool.
It's not cool.
Well,
it's not cool, man!
It is cool because even if they pocket it again, it makes the game successful, and it tells them what their budget is on the next game. Their goal as a capitalist company
is to make money. I understand.
Well, it's to find that money, but it's to make money, but find that sweet spot of expenditure to revenue where they're maximizing the profit. Maybe if they spent more, they wouldn't really be maximizing their profit. The game might be awesome, but they just wouldn't make as much money.
Well, let me ask you this. What if we looked at the books and they were already maximized and they took the advertising dollars anyway?
You know, I gotta say, that's their prerogative. Like,
it
that's,
is.
That's, their,
really
that's
is.
Their goal.
I mean, like, and that's shitty. I mean, just plain and simple. And should we buy games that we know do that? I mean, it's all up to consumer information. It's all up to consumer knowledge. If you know these things are happening, then why would you support it? And
actually, it perfectly ties into last week. Was it last week or the week before that we were talking about Thrift Seekers?
Last week.
This is one of the reasons why
I try to get shit on the cheap
because they do this.
Well, the other piece is, I'd have to say, like, while it's the company's prerogative to maximize their profits and everything, a lot of times profits don't necessarily drive the decisions of the company. They do, you know, morals do drive some of the decisions. You look at, like, Disney World is an example, and their indoctrination of every cast member that works at Disney World and Disneyland. They, if anybody has any kind of, makes a mistake on the job, it has to be in as long as they followed the rules and tried their best, they will never get fired no matter what the mistake they made is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a moral decision that Walt Disney, the founder, made when he started the company. It had nothing to do with profits, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some sense, there is the case where, I'm not saying it's here, but there is a case where company developer will decide, you know what, we're making a lot of money, and we can go ahead and make more by doing this, but it will impact the playability of the game, and I don't want to do that from a moral standpoint. And that does actually happen.
I know, that's perfectly fair, and I definitely know that happens. Actually, oh shit, I was going to say something, but I forgot. No! But like, that's right, companies and their profits. Okay, that's their prerogative. But as a consumer, should we say, oh, this game is $60, but it's because they're trying to make money. Okay, what my prerogative is, screw you, I want to get my gaming dollar. I want to get the most value for my bucks. So you make your profit, I get my game. Who wins? I'm not going to get the game for $60. I'll get it for $25. Yep. And I did. You know,
that's right. It does link into last week.
You know, so it's like when I totally agree with you that a capitalist company strives to make money, and that's fine.
Right, because again,
a consumer strives to spend as little as possible,
and
that's the best in return.
Exactly. And that's why the system actually, I think, works. I mean, that's why you won't get to a point where ads are getting so much in the way of the game that the game is bad. Or if you do, or probably you will, rather, they have to pass that point, and then they'll come back to it when the game sales drop. Because there is another moral obligation, and that's to the shareholders of the company, or the stakeholders. These guys are investing their money, and
they
want
to return. Well, they're corporate. Then you're talking about their corporate. They're no longer developers. They're no longer independent workers. They're no longer people with a passion. They're corporate.
Well,
that's
again,
it.
Yeah, I mean, even the corporate
they're
people,
soulless. It's,
No.
At this point, and this is great because this ties back to another podcast that we did about digital distribution. as much, you know, maybe this is a sign that I have to pick a side, advertising or digital distribution, because Valve does not bend to any publisher now. They have an agreement with EA to distribute, but they can still make their own killing on Steam.
Okay.
So, do I bend to the publisher, or do I download from digital distribution, not have a collection, but know that I'm giving the company that made the game the money, and not the publisher, and not the advertiser?
No, that's good, and that ties directly into the that specific podcast we had about the download distribution. It's another benefit.
Or do I just buy Zelda and get over with?
I like digital distribution, and I really think it's coming, and maybe that's the thing that helps correct the advertising problem.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you don't go through all these publishers that...
Man, that encompassed so many podcasts. We're talking about compatibility.
But then, even with the digital distribution, those companies are just going to go direct to the advertisers and make deals with them. So it's
true.
Yeah, no, it's true. No, that's the way of the future. And
I'm just
going to
start going outdoors now and stop playing video games. What is this big yellow ball of heat? It's warm. What does it do?
You know, what it all comes down to is eventually our... ideas and our beliefs are just going to become so outdated and so stupid understood that we're going to be the new black and white TV. That's it. You know?
Black and white's awesome!
I mean, I feel the way I feel. I think I am just in the extreme minority. I cannot fathom why people would shell out hard-earned dollars to just look at advertisements instead of playing a game. And you just... So here's my final point. Advertisement is good so long as it doesn't infringe on the game player's experience and game player's, enjoyment of the game. We're talking about lowering the price of the game or the media that you're paying for. And they're not doing it. And they're not going to. And therein lies the problem. Do you really want to pay for something that is not giving back to its gamers?
That's our prerogative.
I know.
And we make that decision.
Consumer's decision. And I think in most cases, as we've seen, we go ahead and buy the game so far.
Idiots do.
Well, no, but even we do. I mean, you know, we have admitted, or even I think Tony and you have said, like, you do support some types of in-game advertising as long as...
Oh, I'm talking about the mass. The mass, the people that I don't trust, that I have no faith in, the mass who will, regardless of how extreme these ads get, just don't know any better. Because, again, like, there's a whole, there's us, you know, there's you, me, and you guys, me and Tony, and Al, and the people who read GameSpot, and the people who research this stuff. And then there's just Joe on the corner who just wants his Madden, who doesn't follow this stuff, who don't know, and who don't understand that they have a choice.
I just want to say... that I do understand where the company's marketing goes, okay? I do understand what they're pandering to, and I do understand that this is the way to make the most money, okay? I.e. EA, okay?
EA horse.
EA horse. It's in the game. So, you know, I understand that they know how to market and what to market to. I just feel bad that nobody goes and says, hey, you know, I'm going to buy, Jeff... Def Jam
Vendetta.
Yeah, Vendetta. Okay. And I'm going to look at all these rappers, but do I really have to, you know, stand and watch advertisements for, rap albums or, like, I'm not saying this is in the game because I never played it, but I'm just saying, futuristic, do I have to really stand there and listen to, Sprite? Especially Sprite, okay? Do I have to see the little Sprite guy walk across the, walk across the screen when I do a good move, like, whoopsie? Do I have to see that? Do I have to, okay? The answer is no, but will I? Most likely, okay? And will I see it in the most low fucking common denominator games? Of course I will, okay? I just don't want to be subjected to games that I think are really not those low common denominator games, like, for instance, RTSs, first-person shooters, advanced ones where, like Ghost Recon or anything else like that. I don't want to be involved in a commercial. I don't. I want to be involved in a mission that's based on fantasy in which I can do fantastic things that are in fantasy, not reality. Fantasy.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic things in fantastic places.
Yeah. No comments.
I think clearly more tolerant than Tony and Austin about the advertising stuff in games, and I think that
there we go.
It's a subjective thing. Again, it's a matter of taste. It's a matter of how much it annoys you. I think probably you guys are. I don't know how worried you guys are about the with the gamer ID getting back to Sierra and stuff like that. I don't know.
Mostly just an annoyance for me.
Yeah, I don't know how present there a danger is there, but I can recognize that it's more or less annoying depending on the person. You know, you find that more annoying than I do. Like personally, I don't care, and you find that annoying, and that's perfectly valid. And I just think that for that, it's more of a question of does the mass population even know that's happening, and if they found out, would they be pissed, or do they not care? And I don't think we can really answer that. It's just an interesting question.
Well, then we have to answer the question of apathy. That's it. Apathy runs...
Apathy or adjustment. I mean, there are two things. It's not just apathy. Yeah, some people adjust. Some people just don't care.
Some people just conform. Not necessarily adjust, just conform. Because
some people don't have the will to stand up for stuff that they believe in. That's too bad for them.
You know, and I am definitely not a conformist. I don't want to...
Conform!
Yes, I don't want to do something just because everybody says that's what I have to do.
We'll close it up then. We are running on movie length. We are epic. Epic. You need to pay $10.50 to listen to us. Because we don't have an advertiser.
We need to start charging for this podcast.
Yeah, damn it. But my thoughts are that I'm squirrely... Not squarely in the middle. I'm more skewed towards Tony's side of things, but I do see the benefit, and I do support advertising as long as it does what I want it to do, which right now it's not, and that's why I'm so adamant about it. But when I see games like Assassins for the PS3 and Xbox 360 that look like they really are going to revolutionize gameplay interaction with the environment, and I know that Ubisoft is probably using the dollars that they made from whatever other games that they used to advertising, that makes me feel all right. So it's squarely in the middle. We got to see what the future holds. But I believe Tony had one more tidbit to say before his microphone cracked up. What was that?
More games and ads. More ads and games.
That wasn't Tony.
Tony, I thought you believed the opposite.
I believe that if you want to buy a game advertisements, I think you should be informed. And I think you should be prepared. We don't know what exactly the future is going to hold, but if it holds something that's going to detract from your gaming, do not buy it.
Meat on top of meat on top of meat.
And if it's a boxing game with the king in it, don't pay. Get the fuck out of there. I'm sorry. Do not buy it. That's it.
All right, so that will wrap up our 3,500-hour-long episode of the TryGames.net podcast, number 12, if you can't remember. Al is probably thanking his lucky stars that he hasn't been involved in this because he'd probably be asleep right now, and I'm surprised I'm not. But tune in next week. We'll be sure to make it less than 5 hours. If you have any questions, comments, or donations, please email mailbag@trygames.net as usual. And if you can't spell that, get the hell out of here. For Ethan and Tony, I have been Mr. Chupon, unhungover, thankfully.
<Hey. laughs>
We will see you next week. Get out of here. I hate you.